Well, hey, everybody, welcome to episode 33 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They are located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is the proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, tonight we'll be talking a lot of basketball as both the girls and boys teams are gearing up for the home stretch of the season. In a little while, we'll be talking with Ankeny boys coach Brant Carlson about the Hawks and a tough stretch of games that they have coming up. But right now, we want to talk to some girls hoops with one of the top players on the Ankeny Centennial squad. She's a junior guard who has helped the Jaguars to an 11-5 record and a number 11 ranking in Class 5A. She's Meg Burns. Meg, thanks for coming tonight. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. Well, thanks a lot for coming out on a brutally cold night. You know, I'm sure you'd rather be home snuggled up in a blanket. Is this the coldest weather you can ever remember?
Oh, yeah. I can never remember a time where it's been colder than today.
Yeah, it's just crazy, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's talk some basketball. You guys had a game at the Des Moines East postponed last night due to the weather. It was the third game in the last 2 weeks that you've had postponed. You know, has it been difficult for you guys to maintain your rhythm when the schedule's been so disrupted by the weather?
I don't think it's been too bad. We've had a lot of practices, and we've consistently had good ones. They've been really competitive. Everyone's been really focused, had positive attitudes. So I think, you know, we've gotten better as a result, so.
All right. Well, you certainly had an outstanding season thus far. You're averaging 10 points per game, and you lead the team with 36 three-point goals while shooting nearly 40% from behind the arc. You know, are you happy with the way that you've played this season?
I am happy with how I've played this season. I feel like I've gotten better as the season has gone on, so yeah.
That's all I can ask for, right?
Yeah, of course.
Well, you told me earlier this year that your favorite spot to shoot from is the corners. Now, do you guys run any specific plays to kind of set you up in those spots?
Not necessarily. It's more just when our offense – when somebody drives to the basket and I can scoot down to the corner and it's open for me.
All right. Well, now obviously opposing teams are going to try to defend you at the three-point line because that's where you take most of your shots. I'm sure you've been working at developing other parts of your game. And I know a few times lately you've penetrated the basket and you've gone up, you know, you shoot a runner sometimes with your left hand. Now, do you use the left hand to kind of throw the defense off or does that just kind of come naturally to you?
It just comes naturally to me. We rep it a lot in practice when I drive to the left and I just go up with my left hand.
All right. Well, you've also had a great year at the free throw line where you've made 26 of 30 attempts thus far, and that's an 86.7% clip. On January 4th, you made two free throws with 13 seconds left to give you guys a 50-48 victory over then number two Johnston, and that was the Dragons' only conference loss thus far. You know, how are you guys able to pull out that win, you know, considering that nobody else in the conference has been able to beat Johnston?
Well, we trailed a lot of the game, and I thought we held our composure. We didn't get frustrated. We just kept chipping away slowly but surely. And then we got down to the final stretch and we just kept going and everyone stayed focused and we kept the energy high and then we made a run at the end to pull us ahead.
Well, certainly a big win for you guys. Kind of gave you guys a good start to the second half of the season, didn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Well, I know earlier this year you were battling a turf toe injury that you suffered over the summer. You sat out one game and parts of a couple others, I think, because of the pain that you were dealing with. You know, is that a frustrating injury to deal with?
It is a frustrating injury. A lot of the times we don't know. We tried taping it to see if that would help relieve some of the pain, and then that just made it worse a little bit. So it was frustrating just because we couldn't get it to go away.
Well, do you feel like you're 100% now, though?
I do feel like I'm 100%.
We've certainly been playing like it. Well, now you're considered one of the team's best defenders, and you often draw the defensive assignment against the opposing team's best player, which means you've had to guard the likes of Zoe Young of Valley, Maya McDermott of Johnston, Maggie McGraw of Southeast Polk, Sarah McCullough of Ankeny. You know, the list just goes on and on. Next week, you'll probably have to guard Megan Meyer of Mason City when they come to town. You know, do you take a lot of pride in your defense?
I do take a lot of pride in my defense, just like our team. And when I have to guard those great players, I just make it my goal to keep them at their average or below their average just because it's my part of my role on the team.
We've got a lot of length. That kind of helps when you try to defend both the shot and the drive, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, last Friday night, you guys had a big win at number 7, Dowling Catholic, despite a 40-point game by the Maroons' Caitlin Clark, who was one of the nation's top prospects in the class of 2020. Now, I imagine you guarded her quite a bit in that game. How was she scoring most of her points?
She hit a lot of step-back shots, which are really difficult to defend, and so that's where I think a lot of her points came from.
Yeah, Coach DeYoung told me that, you know, he thought you guys actually did a pretty good job, you know, of defending her. It sounds like she did hit a lot of shots that you really can't do much about, right?
Yeah, I didn't even realize she had 40 points until somebody had mentioned it in the locker room after the game.
Yeah, I was covering the Ankeny game that night when I heard later that she had scored 40 of the 47 points. I've never heard anything like that before.
It's crazy.
Well, the win over Dowling was your team's fifth in a row before you guys dropped a 63-52 decision to number 8 Waukee on Saturday. You know, was that difficult to come right back the next day and play another quality opponent?
It was difficult. We don't do that often. throughout the season. So it was a change for us, but I thought we competed really hard. We didn't let down when they had a lead at the end of the game. We just kept pushing through, and they just had a better game than us.
Well, Waukee got 26 points in that game from sophomore guard Katie Dinnebier, and that was the first time that I've seen her play, and I was really impressed, you know, by the way she played. Did she kind of surprise you guys, you know, since she was averaging, you know, only 10 points per game?
It did. She had a really good game. We did not expect that from her.
Well, it happens sometimes, doesn't it, when somebody
does,
really steps up. But, well, we mentioned the win over Johnston earlier, and now you guys have a big rematch against the Dragons coming up on Friday at Johnston, and I'm sure they'll be highly motivated. You know, a win by Johnston would wrap up the conference title, but you guys are still alive in the conference race as well. If you can pull out a win and then follow with another win at Ames on Saturday, you'll be tied for first place with just one league game remaining. You know, what do you think it's going to take to beat the Dragons again?
I think we're going to have to really focus and throughout the whole game, keep our turnovers low so we can take advantage of those extra possessions that we can get. I think we have to take away their transition points because we know they like to run the floor, and that's where a lot of their points come from. So I think that's a really big thing that we need to stop.
Well, I'm sure you'll get the task of guarding Maya McDermott again quite a bit. The Northern Iowa recruit had 15 points in the first game at Centennial, but 10 of those points came, you know, during the second quarter when she kind of got hot. She later hit a big three-pointer with about 3 minutes left to give her team a six-point lead, but she really wasn't a factor down the stretch as you guys came from behind to win. But what challenges does she present, you know, when you're trying to defend her?
She's very quick. She is a great passer. So if she drives past one of us and we have to help, then she's a great passer, so she'll find the open girl. So I think that'll be a big challenge. We just have to focus on keeping her in front of us.
All right. Well, you guys had a game against Des Moines East last night postponed, so depending on whether you get that rescheduled or not, I think you have four or five games left before the start of regional play. The regional pairings are expected to be announced, you know, any day now. Are you pretty anxious to find out who you're going to play in the postseason?
Yes, the whole team, we're all very anxious to see who we're going to play. We know it's going to be tough, but we can do it.
Well, your team is currently ranked 11th, and I'm not sure, you know, exactly where you'll be in the final, you know, the final rankings after beating the number 7 team last week and then losing to the number 8 team. You know, if you could move into the top 8, you know, that would lock up a top spot or top seed for the regional tournament. How important do you think it would be to get one of those top seeds?
I think it'd be great because we'd get the opportunity to play on our home floor, and that's always great to have that advantage.
Sure. Of course, last year it showed when you had one of those top seeds, that doesn't always guarantee anything,
yeah,
though, does it?
Nope.
Well, let's talk about your future a little bit. You've committed to play for Nebraska Kearney. What did you like about the school?
Well, the first moment that I met the coaches, I fell in love. They were great, and they're going to motivate me and push me to become a better player the whole time I'm there. So I'm really excited and looking forward to that.
Now, what other schools did you consider? Was there very many that you looked at?
I looked at a couple other schools. Wayne State College contacted me a little bit, but otherwise not much.
All right. Well, was it kind of a relief for you to get the decision out of the way, you know, during your junior year?
It was really nice. It just relieves a lot of the stress. Don't have to worry about it. It's really nice.
Now, you could have waited to see, you know, if any other offers, you know, rolled in. If a bigger school, you know, were to come along and show some interest, you know, would you listen to them, or are you, you know, fully committed to Kearney?
I'm fully committed to Kearney. I knew the Division II level was where I wanted to go, and I absolutely love it there.
Well, it's great that you found a good spot for you. Well, you told me earlier this season that you're planning to study exercise and nutrition in college, you know, so what would you want to do in the future with that degree? Is that somewhere where you'd, you know, be working with some athletes?
I'm hoping that I get to continue and, like, work with athletes and maybe even join a college team and work with them in their nutrition programs and help their athletes.
All right, Meg, well, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. Enjoyed the conversation. Good luck with the game on Friday night. Probably see you over there.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Ankeny office at Iowa Realty closed in excess of $250 million in real estate in 2018. Their agents represent over 20 new construction builders in communities all over the metro. With interest rates at historic lows, would you like to know what your home is worth in today's market? If so, you can give them a call at 453-5800. That number again is 453-5800. Well, my next guest is in his third season as the Ankeny boys basketball coach. He has guided the Hawks to a 10-5 record, including a 4-4 mark in the CIML Central Conference. He is Brant Carlson. Brant, thanks for coming tonight. How you doing?
Doing well. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. Well, I know you came here from Orange City up there in Northwest Iowa. Did it ever get this cold up there?
I want to say yes, but it sounds like it wasn't this close, but it's crazy out there.
Oh, it is. Well, I do appreciate you coming in here tonight. Well, you guys are coming off an 88-63 victory over Des Moines Roosevelt in a makeup game on Monday. Now, coming off a tough loss to Ames on Friday, that was a big win for your team, wasn't it?
It was good. I mean, anytime you can win and kind of hopefully restart a little bit of a run, I think that's a positive step for our guys. I thought Ames really dismantled us to a certain degree, but our guys, I didn't think, lost their confidence either, and those things happen. So good bounce back win for us and a big week and really the last couple weeks ahead.
Sure. Well, your son Dylan didn't play in the Ames game after spraining his ankle the week before, and he was also sick that night. Mm-hmm. Now, that game kind of got away from you guys early on, but I thought Braxton Bayless really had a nice game in a losing effort. He ended up with 25 points, and he kind of took it upon himself there for a while to just to keep attacking the rim. You know, he's been such an unselfish player for you guys, but, you know, would you like to see him do that a little bit more often? It seems like he can kind of get a shot whenever he wants
yes,
to.
Yes, and I think he's starting to do that. I think the last couple, three, four games, he's really started to assert himself. And a lot of it for him is just staying fundamental with his attacks and coming off of 2 feet versus jumping off of 1 foot. And just being a little bit more aggressive, trying to get people to come to him so he can find other people too. So his assists have gone up, his turnovers have gone down, and his points have gone up. So that's been a real positive stretch for us.
Sure. Well, then Dylan returned to the lineup on Monday, and he had 9 points in the win over the Rough Riders. You know, do you think he's almost back to 100% now?
He's getting there. I think that what's nice having him out there is the other team puts a lot of attention to him. They were already face guarding him and things like that, which opens things up for Braxton and Jackson and things like that. And the stat sheet shows that. So I think at the end of the day for him, it's just even if he's not 100% healthy, having him on the floor helps us a great deal.
We've had Dylan coming off the bench quite a bit this season, you know, even though he was the top returning scorer from last year's team, and he's currently averaging 12.9 points per game. Mm-hmm. You know, was that tough to get him to buy into that sixth man role?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think at the end of the day for him being a senior, we have a kind of a motto around our place where we talk about seniors' number one goal is to win. And I think juniors and sophomores and freshmen have different things in mind typically as it relates to points or stats or playing time. So I think it's in our program, I think we've encouraged our seniors to do that. We've had others do that in the past. So it's an interesting role for him, but at the same time, I think our five underclassmen that start, it's kind of a two-year process for us, a two-year group of guys that can start for us. So he understands that. He sees the big picture, and it's not going to hurt him, you know, offensively or recruiting, I don't believe.
Well, it's kind of nice to have a guy that can come in off the bench and just really light it up like that, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really why we do it, and I think, you know, for us, I think having strong offensive players off the bench for us is really a positive.
Well, your team got off to a 6-0 start this season before losing 5 of the next 8 games. Mm-hmm. You know, now you've got a chance to maybe get another winning streak going in the last few weeks of the regular season. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you guys had hoped to contend for the conference title, but the loss to Ames obviously, you know, eliminated you from contention there.
Sure.
But is it important now just to kind of keep building some momentum for the postseason?
It is. And, we talked about last time, I wish that conference titles had more clout, you know, for young people. And I'm not sure they always see it that way. So we keep our focus on February and March, and the great start was huge for us as far as seeding goes, and the struggle in the middle was hard. But at the same time, I think it's preparing us for the things that we're going to see down the road. So teams have tried a lot of different things against us. We've seen hopefully all of it, and now we can make adjustments and try to get some things building from a confidence standpoint.
All right, well, you'll play 4 of your last 6 games at home, but you do have some tough opponents, you know, coming into your place. You're going to host Dowling Catholic on Friday, then you'll host Des Moines Hoover and Johnston next week. Mm-hmm. You know, those should be some pretty good tests for you guys to get you ready for the postseason, I would think.
Very, very much so. I think Johnston, you know, has beaten Ames twice, you know, which says something about them and how good they are, and Dowling's just always Dowling. I think they're just so physical and consistent. So, you know, it's just something for some hurdles for our guys to kind of get over, I think. Just mentally, too, just to say, hey, we can play with everybody. I know we think that, but let's prove that. And I think that's kind of where we're heading here in the last couple games as we go to seeding for tournament two.
Well, I'm sure your guys would like to avenge those earlier losses to both Dowling and Johnston. And the game against Johnston on the 8th could have conference title implications for the Dragons, mm-hmm. who currently lead Ames by a game and a half in the league. Mm-hmm. You know, when you look at Johnston's record, I see that they've won 2 games by 1 point, and they had the 3-point win over you guys, mm-hmm. which was really a crazy game because I think in that game you guys had a 14-0 run late to take the lead, and then they came back with a run to end the game. Mm-hmm. You know, they've really shown this year that they just know how to win, don't they?
They do, and look at what they did last year, too. I mean, they won a ton of tough games, and their post player, Williams, is so good, and I think he's just a good leader for them, too. And they got a lot of young guys that are just really, you know, they play like seasoned veterans, really. So very tough team for us to match up with, but just a great challenge at home. And that's a senior night for us next week, so that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, Hoover will certainly provide a big test on Tuesday as well. Mm-hmm. I see the Huskies were 10-3 after beating Ames on January 15th. But they've lost their last couple of games after having 4 starters suspended for disciplinary reasons.
Yep.
It sounds like, from what I've heard, that maybe those guys might be back, you know, next week. Have mm-hmm. you heard anything along those lines?
Not for sure, but I think they will be. And even if they're not, their coach and staff just do such a great job. They're always tough to play against. I think we've had, you know, 2 of the best games against them in the last 2 years and lost both. I mean, we had leads in the fourth quarter and all those things. So we're looking forward to it. I think that they'll – they're a team that would just be fun to beat just from our style standpoint to see if we can combat their style.
Yeah, they're such a disciplined team, aren't they? They just really don't force anything. And
nope, they play the way they want to play. I think that we've gotten them to play our way a couple times the last 2 years, so hopefully we can do that again.
Well, last week you guys learned your sub-state assignment. You've been placed in sub-state 7 along with Roosevelt, Dowling, Indianola, Southeast Polk, and Valley. You know, what was your first reaction, you know, to seeing your sub-state bracket?
Tough. I mean, just like it was last year and the year before, it's like, here we go again. I mean, it's going to be a grind and a battle, just like the regular season is. I think our district, selfishly, I think from my standpoint, I think it's the toughest in the state. I don't think there's any question about it. When you look at win-loss percentage, if you look at strength of schedules of all the teams, we got a really tough road. So I think Valley's awesome. I thought they were one of the best teams we have played in the last couple of years, to be honest. And then Indianola, I mean, they play a 3A schedule, but very, very good players on their team. So you go on down the list of Dowling, and Roosevelt's got good players too. And so, again, there's just no easy way for us.
Well, let's break this down a little bit further. Valley's currently 13-3. Indianola's 11-3. And like you mentioned, they've played mostly a Class 3A schedule. Yep. You know, so assuming Valley wins its next couple of games, you got to believe that they're going to be the number one seed, right?
Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. I think for us, we're still competing for the 2 seed. I think if we can keep our losses close to Indianola, I think we could have a conversation as it relates to strength of schedule. The state has talked to us about that, where your strength of schedule is important. So, you know, our goal is to get that number 2 seed. We'd love to have a first round bye. We'd love to host that second game there. So that would be a step in the right direction for us as a program, as we looked at in comparison to the last 2 years. So that's where we're at.
So obviously beating Dowling and then Hoover, you know, maybe would put you guys in position to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, on the other hand, if you guys lose to Dowling, you know, that would give the Maroons a sweep of the season series against you guys. You know, they would also finish ahead of you in the conference. So I'm sure their coach would argue that maybe they should be seated ahead of you, right?
Sure. There's no question about it. I think it all plays out. I mean, it's, you know, you got to win games to get the seed. So, you know, we're understanding of that. I think our guys are understanding of that too. And that's just kind of the nature of the game. So we're looking forward to the next couple games and trying to compete and put ourselves in a good position to make a run that we always talk about.
Well, if the seedings were done today, I think most people would probably agree it would be Valley and then you guys in Indianola in some order in 2 and 3. So one of you would get the bye, one of you wouldn't, but then you could meet in that second round matchup. Mm-hmm. And Indianola is the only team in your bracket that you haven't seen. So have you started to maybe study them a little bit?
Sure, we always do that. I mean, we've played them in the summer, and our guys know their guys really well because they play in the same AAU team. So Quinn Vesey's a great shooter on the wing, and their point guard's, I believe, going to UNI already, whether it's a preferred walk-on or a half scholarship. So, I mean, he is tremendous. So, and they have other good complementary players that, you know, we've faced before. So we played them last year in the second game of the season, and, you know, that was a battle too. So they're a very, very good team. I don't really look so much at who people play overall. I think you look at their talent and their coaching staff, how good they are.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about the player you mentioned there that's going to UNI, Evan Gogger. He's averaging 26.5 points per game.
Yeah.
And I see that he's only made 23-pointers in 14 games this year, so he must get most of his points, you know, inside the arc. What kind of a player is he? Does he like to take to the basket?
Very much so. Very athletic, great passer, too. I mean, the guy can get up on the rim and dunk easy, and he can make threes. He just chooses not to, in my opinion. I think he's a guy you'd have to put a ton of attention toward, no question about it. When we played him this past summer, he just destroyed us, to be honest. He just did a great job. And I think, again, it's just we've played each other, like I said, with scrimmage. We're very comparable. Our styles are very comparable. So that's going to be a battle. I mean, selfishly, we'd love to play him at our place. So
sure.
That's what I like.
Well, Valley is seeking its fourth consecutive trip to the state tournament, and, you know, they'd probably have to be the favorite in the sub-state going in.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned you guys played there a couple weeks ago. You fell behind by 17 points at halftime. You came from behind, made a little bit closer, ended up losing by 9.
Mm-hmm.
I know a potential rematch against them is a long ways away, but just in general, you know, what's it going to take for somebody to knock off the Tigers?
You got to shoot really well. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think you have to shoot really well. I think you have to somehow keep their point guard out of the lane. I think if he's not – second best, he's right in the top three or four in the state to me as far as athleticism and control and toughness. So you got to keep him out of the lane. And, again, you have to shoot really well. You got to put a ton of pressure on them. And I think you got to make them play a little faster than they want to play. And then lastly, you just got to be able to rebound, you know, at least make it equal.
Yeah, because they got a lot of size, and that can present problems for a lot of teams, right?
Yeah, 2'6", 8" guys, and, again, just their athletes and their depth is really good. And they have their other complementary players shoot the ball so much better than they have the last couple of years. So I've told people I think this is their best team that I've seen since I've been here.
Well, I wanted to get your thoughts on some of the other sub-states as well. You know, there's really some juicy potential matchups when you look at some of the teams and where they're bracketed. You know, in sub-state two, you could have an Ames versus Des Moines North final, mm-hmm. which would be a matchup of point guards, Tyreek LeCour and Taman Lipsey.
Yeah.
You know, who would you like in that matchup?
Oh, man, it's going to be very, very interesting. Again, contrasting styles, you know. So Ames is playing so good right now. I think North is playing really well. I mean, for me, I think at the end of the day, Tyreek LeCour, if you put him in that position again, be his third sub-state in a row, if you were putting money down, I think you'd have to go with him because he's just awesome. But at the same time, Coach Downs up at Ames and those guys just do a great job of scouting and controlling tempo. So if we weren't playing that night, that's a game I'd go watch for sure.
Well, I got a chance to see Lipsey play for the first time, you know, in their win over you guys last week. I was really impressed with, you know, how he plays. You know, yeah. He plays under control. He really doesn't try to force things. Mm-hmm. I really thought he let the game, you know, come to him, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Very controlled. And he plays with our two guys, Jackson and Braxton, up at All Iowa Tech, plays with their grade level. So he's always played older. He looks older. He's strong, physical, very mature. So he is going to be a handful to deal with over the next 3 years for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, then in Sub-State 8, you have a trio of really good teams in Waukee, Johnston, and Hoover. Ankeny Centennial is also in that bracket, and I know Bob Fontana told me, you know, that his team has a really tough draw there. Mm-hmm. Of course, Waukee and North Scott are the only remaining unbeaten teams in Class 4A, and the Warriors may have been the favorite to win it all before their guard, Noah Hart, suffered a season-ending knee injury earlier this month.
Yeah.
You know, I know you guys haven't seen Waukee yet, but, you know, do you think they have enough to maybe still make a run for the title without him?
It seems like to me, I mean, when you look at, you know, Coach DeVries from Drake's Sons playing there, and they shoot the ball a lot better than they've done the last 2 years. And they still have size, and their wings are big, and they got a great team. When I look at, you know, Johnston, their consistency, and then Hoover, too, you're not going to be able to write off any of those guys. So that is a tough district, and I know I'm selfish when I say ours is the toughest, but I'm sure they'd all say the same thing, too. So, and I'm not going to write out Ankeny Centennial either. I mean, with their size and their toughness and the coach and Fontana do a great job. So, I mean, you could see an upset coming through there, too.
Well, all these sub-states are going to be fun to watch, aren't they?
Absolutely. It's going to be good basketball. That's what I love about this time of year.
Well, last thing I want to ask you about is I see you're wearing a Yankees hat. Are you getting ready for some baseball?
Big time. Yeah, I love the Yankees, man. It's a kind of a family thing for us and my dad and brothers and all that stuff. So there's not too many of us around this area, but no, it's good. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, I'm a Twins fan, so you guys have ruined my postseason a few times in the past.
That's very true.
Well, hey, Brant, thanks a lot for coming in. I really appreciate it.
It's always fun to be here. Thanks.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you'd like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at mikestanbro, that's STANBROUGH, @iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.